you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR show. This week, a band you may not know, but you're going to be surprised on how many other bands give these boys accolade. They're from Canada. They're called The Trues. And I'll tell you this, their first performance got Shannon all moist in the pantaloonies because, boy, is it great. They're really talented guys, fun guys. Remember, we do the show every single Wednesday and Saturday live. It then comes out 5 days later. That's the one you're listening to right now with commercials. So if you go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the code SDR, you could hear this 5 days early, and then that means commercial free, and that also means straight back to the first episode we ever did, like 8 years ago, whatever that is. And if you're a fan of The Trues, you could have heard these two live performances 5 days ago, ahead of all the other True fans in your neck of the woods. But here it is right now, The Trues episode of the SDR.
This is the intro to the shit show. This is a hit show, show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's weed, our weed, it's hookers and blow. It's art, it's far, you need to know. The SDR show. Let's go.
I always like looking at the band, watching the intro, and be like, okay, what the fuck are we doing in here right now? Is that fair?
It looked like fair. One of those things looked like a cruise ship.
It was.
Like
that's what it was, yeah. I used to host this thing called Shiprock for a long time.
Okay.
I know some guys that did Shiprock.
Yeah, I did.
We've
that
done thing. Rockboat three times and Kid Rock Cruise once.
Oh, the Kid Rock Cruise you did once.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That was wild.
It is the SDR show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll show. I am Ralph Sutton in studio, and to my right, James Mattern.
It's the closest we've ever been, Ralphie.
It is. We're in Studio B at the Gas Digital Network. Last time you were in studio with me, who was on the show?
The lovely girl from SNL with tats on her hands.
Oh, yeah, Heidi Gardner. Yeah,
good
she's
kid.
Cool. Yeah, and then before that was Def Leppard, right?
No, I think we had someone in between, but it's all just
it's all a blur. It's all a blur. Okay, so I will say this is how this happens. You know, every once in a while we find out, a band's coming around. Oh, let's try and get them. And I hear, The Trues.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I fucking know this band. Why do I know them? And then I was like, In Your Arms was a strip club go-to back in the day.
Yeah,
and we were just talking about it off air. Let's introduce the band right now, guys. And The Trues, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming on. And also, it's Colin, John, and Jack, right?
Yeah, John Colin, and John Angus.
John Angus.
Yeah, hyphenated.
Yeah, let's start with that. What's right. The story behind that, John Angus?
You'd have to ask my parents.
But you go by the full...
I do. Okay. Yeah, it's a hyphenated name. I have a middle one and a last one after that. So
you do?
Yeah, I got to go with the full first.
So what's the full name?
John Angus Callahan McDonald.
That's and do you have something as deep and relevant?
No, I just have mine's just Colin.
That's
just
weird.
Simple Colin.
Okay, that's you know. That's nice.
They didn't even give him a last name.
That's kind of weird. Yeah.
I just go by Colin. Just no, yeah.
It's like Madonna.
And do you feel like so? I did rock radio for a long time, right? Yeah. And I would always call bands like people by the name you wouldn't hear them by normally, like Rob Halford. Come on, I'd say Robert Halford,
right.
Just to
nice.
Like throw a wrench in the works, right?
Right. Right. Yeah.
If someone calls you like Johnny Angus or something like that, is it going to bother you?
I don't mind nicknames. I got a lot of them. The only one I kind of don't love is just John, straight up John.
Just straight up
just because my whole life I've been having to correct that. So I don't mind. People call me Django. People call me Johnny A. People call me Janangus.
Django.
Django.
Django is a good one.
I would take it up a notch. I'd call you White Django.
White Django.
Right. White Django. That's a nickname,
long
baby.
Long before that film, I was going by Django. So.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I think of Django Reinhardt.
And Django Reinhardt. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
There we go. That's kind of cool. So now, it's funny. I read a quote about you guys, and I made fun of it a little bit out in the hallway, and feel free to shit on me for this, but the line I read was, the Trues are guilty of being Canadian. Meaning that you guys, if someone were to delve into the seven albums of the Trues, you would be like, oh, why are these guys not fucking household names in America?
Yeah.
And it's because you're Canadian. Is that fair?
We committed the cardinal sin of being born north of the 49th parallel. Right.
Do you feel that way? Like, because it is a weird thing, because there's so many great songs, and you did have some, you know, like I said, In Your Arms did get airplay and stuff like that. But
Yeah. It's Hold Me, In Your Arms, just for the record, in case somebody wanted to look it up. Yeah. Right. Maybe I just thought you were trying to throw me like Robert Halford or something. But I will say that... they're different countries, and people do forget that sometimes.
Right.
You know, people think like, you know, Jim Carrey's from America. I was like, no, he's from Canada. I mean, it's a different place.
Right.
I mean, as much as most people that have had to make it on that scale have had to leave, you know, unfortunately, until recently. I want to say until recently. But yeah, it's a different place with different, you know, different everything.
And I think it's not till the third record that was like a proper American release. Is that about right?
On the third record, we got pushed down here with... We got some play for that song that you played.
Right.
It was a
good booby bark tune, I got to tell
alternative, you. Alternative, Alt Nation on Sirius. I think we got played on that station a bit. And we did this big, long American tour opening for Ace Frehley from Kiss all over.
Right, which I'm sure there was a lot of great stories. He's been in studio with us not that long ago, so we did that.
He's amazing. I'm a huge, especially early Kiss fan, so it was really cool to be on tour with him. But he did some funny kind of cliche, like we were in... But where were we? In Cleveland? And he said, good evening, St. Louis. Like,
that's
not,
great.
Not joking.
We fucking love that happens. That's good that happens. Speaking of that, because I don't want to dive into it right away, because I feel like it is a little bit of a tender subject. But, you know, I always say this, and I apologize for repeating myself, but I'm the one who tries to do the research. He could just rely on being funny, right? Doesn't need to even know who was in until we get here, right?
But I know what was going on, but I'm also close to your notes. I could really look this time and be like, tell me about 1998 when you were stuck in Manitoba.
So, correct me. How'd you know?
Baby, I'm going to read your souls.
I'm going to tell you my story first and then see how it relates to you guys, okay? Right. Years ago, when the new album from this band was called Chinese Democracy, right? We were offered an interview with the band, with Axl Rose at the time. And I was told, you're not allowed to bring up any of the old members.
Wow.
You're not allowed to talk about any of the music prior to this record, only this release. And it's got to be pre-taped. He will listen back and then decide if it's worth airing. So I had, and I was like, you know what? I just don't need to do it that badly. I think we're going to fucking skip it. And we didn't do the interview. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So I was told, and correct me if this is wrong, because sometimes I'm wrong. You guys did do a little stint with Guns.
We have a similar story.
And you were told... If you talk to Axl, you will be asked to leave the tour. Is that fucking true?
So this came like road manager to road manager. So I don't want to I don't want to throw Axl unfairly under the bus, but the road manager for him did take the road manager for us aside and say, listen, guys, here's their ground rules. If you see him coming, look the other way. Don't saddle up to my catering. Don't thank him for
no
being here.
No eye contact.
He doesn't know you're here, so
God
don't even worry about it. But the silver lining of that story is that was in Halifax in 2006.
Long time
ago. And we were, you know, hot shit, and it was the East Coast, and it was our part of the world. And we got invited to the after party. Do you guys know the Trailer Park Boys? Are you familiar?
Yeah, of course, sure.
So that was like when they were sort of on the come up, you know, the Trailer Park Boys as a show. So Axl was a fan and he wanted to meet Bubbles. So we invited him down to the show and that was their first meeting. Now they're like old friends.
Oh, okay. That's
and
nice.
And Mike Bubbles hosted the after party at his new house in Halifax. And we know Mike from way back and we got the invite to the after party. So we didn't say anything to Axl. We just did our show and got on with it. But then he showed up at the after party and we ended up walking right up to him being like, hey, Axl, thanks for having us on the show.
Oh.
And he was super kind. Like, he was like, hey, great to have you guys. And we sort of, you know, Jack and I sort of shot the shit with him for like 20 minutes or so, just about Trailer Park Boys and the East Coast, whatever he wanted to talk about. And then he had the greatest all-time line to the end of conversation I've ever heard.
You won't be on the tour tomorrow.
No, that's what I was expecting. It's close.
Thank you for your
I said,
time.
Okay, Axl, I got to go. It's like 5 a.m. and we gotta drive a van to the next city. We're not taking a private plane. So I'm like, thanks for having us. You know, great. See you tomorrow. And he takes a swig of his champagne from the bottle and says, maybe. So I wasn't sure if that meant like maybe you won't be there, maybe I won't be there, maybe none of us will be here.
Could go either way with him.
But then during his show, which I've been told he never does this because the Suicide Girls, you know those girls?
Oh, yeah, of course.
They were on the bill as well.
Tried to bang many of them.
So they would play between the opener. They would go on and do their striptease thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm told from one of them that he never thanks openers from the stage, and mm-hmm. we got a thank you from the stage. Yeah.
And the next night in Cleveland, he kicked Eagles of Death Metal off the bill because they were on the.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, that happened. And then Rolling Stone covered it because we read it in Rolling Stone. They were saying like Axl got on, didn't like the cut of their jib, whatever it was, mm-hmm. and got on and said, what'd you think of the Pigeons of Shit Metal?
Yeah.
And then Cleveland was like, I don't know. And then he said, don't worry, they're fired from the tour. And they're supposed to do like 10 shows. That happened the day after he not only didn't fire us, but gave us a bit of a tip of the hat from stage. So I'm kind of impressed by that.
But Pigeons of Shit Metal is a pretty funny name.
Pretty good name for a band, by the way.
But in those stories that I've heard about you guys, the one I love is kind of a good, bad, good, bad kind of vibe, which is, A, you were trying to get one of them, you were trying to get tickets for the Rolling Stones, and somehow you ended up not getting tickets, but getting to do the show with them.
Yeah. So that happened in 2005. We were putting out our second record. We had just come off a pretty big hit record in Canada. And the Rolling Stones were in town rehearsing for their Bigger Bang tour.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they always try to get an up-and-coming band to open their things. And they were going to do like a secret show at a small club. And we heard rumor of it. So I remember calling my manager at the time, like, can you please just get us in? Like, we're in town. We were doing press. And, you know, it was at the time, I mean, now he's gone, unfortunately, but Charlie was having a health scare back then too. So it was like hit and miss whether or not they were going to actually go and do a show.
Mm-hmm.
But I just begged our manager to get tickets to this like exclusive show at a place called the Phoenix Concert Hall in Toronto, which is about 1,000 people capacity. And he called me. He's like, I can't get you tickets, but you can open the show.
That's fucking cool as shit.
And I'm like, no way, man. I want the tickets. No, just kidding.
So yeah, you can open the show, but you got to leave immediately afterwards. You won't be able to watch any of it.
No, we were told once we got there that if they liked us, we could get a picture with them, and we got a picture with them.
Oh, that's cool. And it's also interesting because in all the stories I'm reading about you guys over and over again, it's the bands are like, well, wow, these fucking guys are great. And it just... It goes back to my first thing. Why were you guys born in Canada? It really fucked shit up for you guys. It really...
Yeah.
But they're good guys. Canada just breeds good people. Yeah. Even serial killers there have like politeness. And shit.
Yeah.
Like it's just nice. Look at these good guys. They'll walk old ladies across the street now. I'm an honorary Canadian. You know that, right?
I didn't know that. It was good because Vegas is relatively close to Canada.
When I go to Montreal for the festival, there's a lesbian couple. One's Palestinian, one's Jewish. And they said, you love this town so much. We love you. You're a Quebecois, and if they say it, you're going to argue with a lesbian couple that's Palestinian
and Jewish?
It's a lot of descriptors right
there. God damn it. You can't argue with them. No, you're going to go to the clink for that shit.
You like your poutine, then. You're into it.
Please, don't. I love Boustan's. I can't get enough of it. I love Toronto. Yeah. That's the best.
Yeah. Somebody has shit on the fact that Canada doesn't really have a cuisine. But French Canadian, it is poutine. I mean, that is about as Canadian as you could get.
It's become
right?
a national kind of claim to fame dish right. too. You know?
Smoked meat,
smoked meat in Montreal, but it's kind of a New York thing too.
Oh, speaking of which, you're from Nova Scotia,
yeah.
right? And when I went to Nova Scotia as a Jew, we eat smoked salmon and we call it Nova. It's so synonymous with Nova Scotia.
Yeah,
we call it Nova as Jews. And I went up there and I asked, and they all thought I was crazy. They never heard that. I thought it was just part of the culture.
Oh, okay. I never heard that.
Yeah,
until
you
right
say
now.
Bagel with Nova. You see that
what's lox then?
Lox is a type of salmon, of smoked salmon.
Right,
it's belly. It's from the belly, but it's whatever. I'm being very Jewy right now, so I apologize.
Get into it.
All right. So then the last story I read that I just want to know, then we'll get into like the beginnings of the band. I just found this wild. You did a stint with Robert Plant,
yeah,
right? And A, that he came to see Soundcheck, which is cool, if that's true.
Yeah.
But B, knowing that you guys, and I might be fucking up the story a little bit, you started as doing covers in your grandmother's basement, and that somehow led to doing a cover of Bohemian Rhapsody, and him getting pissed off. Please elaborate on that, too. So, that's a fucking great story.
You really have done your research.
That's
great. I love it.
I care.
I love that the grandmother got the mention.
We used to do, rest in peace. We grew up a cover band, and then we used to be very like ambitious in our covers. So Bohemian Rhapsody is a song we did. It was pretty trashy version of it, but it was still good. It had a lot of heart, and it rocked. And we did it as a dare. We were in Edmonton on opening for Robert Plant on a whole tour, and we got dared on the radio station to do it that night at the hockey arena where we were opening. And we closed with it and like just brought the house down, and it was really great. And then
right after
the show, we heard from our road manager, the Robert Plant people aren't very happy with you guys. And we're like, okay, I hope everything's okay. And then the next day, we were in Calgary, which is a neighboring city in Alberta. and me and Janangus wrote to impress, and our drummer at the time, Sean, was in the Calgary Saddle Dome just reading his book or whatever, and Robert came backstage and went right up to our drummer and just said, hey, listen, man, we're not here to, like, you know, rehash the past and do cover songs. Like, I didn't appreciate that cover you guys did the other night. Like, Freddie was a friend of mine, and we're here to, like, push the envelope forward and not doing stupid covers. And started kind of getting in our drummer's face, and our drummer was just kind of like, what the hell?
Imagine
a deer
being,
in the headlights.
Being fucking tore out by
the
Robert
Golden
Plant.
God.
God,
yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Wait. I love Zeppelin. I love it.
Yeah.
Their whole goddamn first three albums were goddamn covers,
yeah,
and they didn't even give credit to people.
Maybe it was,
I mean, what are we doing over here?
Yeah.
You know, he was, I mean, first of all,
he was awesome.
And I love him.
Yeah.
The backstory
yeah, of all this too. Is this was like date number 6 or 7 on the tour. And up to then, he had been very, very kind,
right,
and very sweet, very generous. He did come to soundcheck.
Yeah.
He did exchange an old story with Jack, and, like, you know, we had some good hangs.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's
for
a
later.
Good one. We'll get to remind us to circle back.
Yeah.
But that was the backstory, that we had some great experiences. We're touring with, like, the best rock god of all time,
yeah,
and then we pissed him off. And then, you know, people were saying he's pissed because you left a standing ovation at an opening gig. You know,
mm-hmm,
like, nobody's supposed to do that. It's like, you broke the cardinal rule. What are you doing?
And then
I walked in on him lambasting our drummer. I was just coming back, and I'm like, what's going on here? You know, and here's our 25-year-old Newfie drummer getting lambasted.
Newfoundlander.
getting lambasted by the Golden God himself. So they sort of diffused itself.
Right,
and then
right,
another cool shout out that night. I watched every show, and that night he sort of gave us a big shout out from the stage. Mm. I think he felt a little bit bad because it was like, I don't know if it was undue pressure, but it was certainly an imbalance. You know, because
right,
we didn't mean to piss anybody off.
So before you tell the story that he told you, my question as someone who's never played in a band or on stage or anything like that, is there a rule that you're not supposed to do cover songs normally, or nobody gives it? Are you supposed to?
This is the thing about being an opening band. Like, it's kind of like anything, like in stand up or anything. Like, if you best the headliner, then fair enough.
I've been fired.
But imagine
so many times.
But now imagine you best it
because you're terrible.
But imagine
that's another story.
But it's different if you're besting the headliner with your own material or with a Richard Pryor joke. It would be a little bit cheaper if you just used it. So in a way, yeah, it was cool that we got a standing
right,
O. We didn't. If we had written Bohemian Rhapsody,
that's a different story,
and had debuted it, then we would have deserved.
So maybe
it was a little bit of
a
cheat, I
cheap
think.
Trick.
Yeah.
Right. Cheap trick.
Another great band.
You know what I would have done, though? Just to spite, I would have opened that night when the levee breaks. Just straight up.
That would have had balls.
I would have went right at it. Chips in the middle, goddamn.
He was doing those songs on that tour.
I used to be,
would have pissed him right off.
I used to be pretty friendly with Dee Snider, and he showed me where he was at a wedding, and it was Led Zeppelin's road manager's son or something. I forget why he was there.
Henry.
Something. And so he was on stage singing Dee Snider at the wedding, and Robert Plant was in the crowd, and he sang a Led Zeppelin song right into Robert's face, which that takes balls to
do. Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah.
So what did he say to you? And then I have one more story I want to get confirmation of, and we'll move on.
I guess it was in London, like the third show he came backstage
London, Ontario.
Yeah, London, Ontario, sorry. And so a year before, we had opened up for his son in London, England. And I was hanging out with we were hanging out with all his friends after. And I ended up going home with one of his friends. And so later when we're doing the tour with Robert Plant, he comes backstage and he's like, which one's Jack?
That's funny.
He's like,
are we going to get in trouble for this story?
Yeah, that's a good story. That's cool, though. So you doinked one of the friends? Is that what basically happened?
Yeah, they had a lot in common.
It's cost of doing business.
It might have been a mutual drinking. We're not sure.
I don't know how he knew.
I think his exact words were, which one's the bass player?
That's really fucking funny. And then the last legendary story that I've heard that I want to know is true is one that involves Bruce Springsteen.
Yes, very true. So we got to, it sounds like a dream just talking about it, but we got to open for the E Street Band in 2012 in a place called Moncton, New Brunswick, which is on close to Nova Scotia, east coast of Canada. And it was a big outdoor thing. We were like last minute additions to the bill. And it was in August of 2012. And we were told, you know, when we got there, we had a great show. We really wanted to meet the boss. I mean, you guys must understand that amount of love.
I mean, people feel that way about me. They want to meet the boss.
Okay, great. Well, I don't blame them. But we got there. It was really tight security. There was a lot of like Bruce is going to do a 3-hour show tonight. So he's getting ready. Like, he has a long warm-up regime. Like, if you, regiment, if you you know, want to meet him, then just stand by the stage right before he goes on. The best chance you'll get is just on his way to take the stage. So we're just waiting there. It's a big outdoor festival type thing. And all of a sudden, all these Escalades start driving in with the band members. And we're like, okay, like the boss has arrived. Like it's like one of those major, you know, you felt like a president was showing up or something. But in the background, we saw this little tiny golf cart just ripping around doing donuts and just going crazy. And we're like, whoever that is going to get in so much trouble because they're like super strict about everything. And as it got closer, we realized, oh, that was Bruce Springsteen driving the golf cart.
Like a 14-year-old.
With little Steven and Max Weinberg.
Had that
golf cart tipped over, that show would have been done. Anyway, he ripped up like crazy, super energy. It was like meeting like, I don't know, like G.I. Joe or Superman or something. He just had that aura. It was like you weren't meeting a human. You were meeting like a legend. He just had that thing. And he came right over to us and he was like, how you doing? How was your set? And like, he's like, where are you from? And I'm like, well, from Antigonish, Nova Scotia. He's like, where is that? I'm like, it's about 3 hours east of here, Mr. Springsteen, like that kind of thing. And he's like, do you know Twist and Shout? And we're like, yeah. He goes, come play it with me in the encore. And we're like, okay.
We felt like Courtney Cox in that video.
Yeah. So we thought at the time, because we had been on the road for a long time, was like, oh, geez, we better stay sober enough, because his show's going to be 3 hours, and we're getting up in the end of that. So we stayed sober enough, and we got up and did Twist and Shout.
Enough.
And you can find it on YouTube, Springsteen with
That's
the Truth.
That's fucking cool as shit. Yeah. So now that I know that all my stories that I heard were true, that makes me very happy.
This is the greatest thing I've ever heard,
it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
We just start the show with... with goddamn Springsteen.
Now let's get to the boring stuff.
So,
what about Neil Young? You have tea with Neil Young? Let's keep it going.
No, you know what? We haven't met Neil Young.
That's slept with Joni Mitchell's niece? What are we doing?
I did meet Joni, but not Neil.
All right, before we go any further, if you are a responsible adult over the age of 21 and you're living in a state where Delta 8 is legal, and more importantly, you want to get really fucking high, time to go to YoDelta.com, where you could stock up on high-quality, lab-tested Delta 8. All your vape and gummy needs, all you need to do is be over the age of 21 and live in a majority of the states where this shit be legal. So go to YoDelta.com and stock up on Delta 8. If you don't know what Delta 8 is, it's found in hemp and can be legally shipped to a majority of the states. And most importantly, it can get you high. At YoDelta.com, you find a mix of gummies and vapes for all your getting stoned needs. And if you use the promo code GAS, you're going to get 25% off your entire order, and quick shipping as well. So go to YoDelta.com, use the promo code GAS, get 25% off, and get really fucking high. YoDelta, home of Delta 8, that will get you super high. All right, let's get back into it.
Yeah.
So originally the band was called hilariously One Eye Trouser Snake, named after a Monty Python sketch.
Yeah.
Eventually it shortened to Trouser or something, and then a jazz band had that name and it became the Trues. Is that right?
That's all right.
It's the rest of Cole's notes.
Right. So that is a pretty. So the Trues apparently means pants.
Yeah.
In what language?
It's a Scottish term, and it's basically like. Anyway, it's always the thing is, when we named the band the Trues, we thought we were going to last a four-song EP, and we knew we weren't allowed to use the word trouser, so overnight we changed it to the Trues. Okay. And you know, blessing, we got successful with the name, but now we have to forever explain the name. And it's over here, it's like, what is this, like a misspelling of truth or true?
Yeah.
But no, in the UK, it's like a form of pant, a plaid pant.
Okay. So tartan.
Anytime,
so it's less of a question when you're overseas.
Overseas, it's like more like. So over here, it's like, what does your name mean? Uh-huh. And over there, it's like, why would you call yourselves that?
That's how if I called the band the Pant. Fair enough.
We got so sick of answering that our old drummer actually came up with a story about how it came to him in a vision. It came to him in a dream.
Yeah.
Dream of Pants.
It was tattooed on Tom Selleck's back.
In the dream. Yeah.
If we've heard this story many times, that a band wishes if you could go back in time and change your name, but maybe that had something to do with why that you got.
I like the ring of it. I just don't like explaining it.
Right. That's why I did the cursory explanation for you guys.
Right,
I feel.
You did.
We never thought about branding or any of that stuff, but like when you think about it, we've always had like, it's Trues Day today, like, and Trues are
like,
false.
Isn't your like your fan base is called the Troubadours?
Yeah.
So you can work it in. At least it has a
An angle.
Yeah, so that's why the network here is called GAS Digital, right? And it stands for my partner and I, Gomez and Sutton. GAS is Gomez and Sutton. But we were coming up with the name. It was like, well, that allows for stupid shit like High Octane Entertainment and Fuel Up with this because it's gas. So that's why we did it. So at least you back-ended into your Troubadours and
stuff
like that.
Lucky.
It made sense to me.
Yeah.
So The story is you originally won a contest like in Canada for like some rock search or something,
yeah.
And that's how the band really started,
yeah.
Right? After the grandma's basement and stuff, that yeah. is what got you some sort of deal.
Yeah, we entered the Hits FM rock search in 2002, and yeah, the biggest thing about that is we won some money and we won some studio time, but they played our song on the radio that whole summer,
mm-hmm.
and it worked out. People started liking it. So like they'll play the song kind of obligatory, like, you know, they'll play it for a few weeks, but ours started to get people calling in, like, who is that? And then that really helped us.
And then you say the truth. They're like, well, what does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's pants.
Pants. Traditional. You wear it.
Or if the listener is from England, they're like, why would they call themselves that?
Yeah. That name is Krap. It's Krap.
Yeah. But weren't you also doing a residency at Healy's, Jeff yeah. Healy's place? Was that was yeah. before that, right?
So what brought us up to Ontario, like, I don't know if the listeners are familiar with Canadian geography, but we're from the East Coast, Nova Scotia. And we were just like, spinning our wheels down there. But one of the last things we did in Nova Scotia before we moved to Ontario was we opened for Jeff Healy at the Marquee Club in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Healy loved us. And he said, if you guys come up to Ontario, I'll give you a weekly gig at my new bar called Healy's on Bathurst and Queen in downtown Toronto. So we were the house band there from August till December of 2001.
Right. And that was pre all this.
Pre
right.
everything.
Right. That's yeah. pretty wild. And then also some magazine packaged your EP, right? With the magazine. That made a big difference
that's
too, right?
That's the 2014 Classic
that's
Rock.
That's much later.
That was much later.
Right? Yeah, that was a big a bit yeah. of a break in the UK. But yeah, Classic Rock magazine.
Yeah, and so like guys. If you bought a Classic Rock magazine, because someone out here mm-hmm. he just had a Foreigner on.
Yeah.
And they were saying that when they bought some magazine, it came with Foreigner's greatest hits. I yeah. remember once in the UK, Prince's album came with every copy of yeah. the newspaper.
Right, right, right.
So that was a thing to do for a while. So somehow yeah. that happened with you guys. That was like almost 8 years ago,
90,000 copies of our yeah. fifth album.
Yeah.
It was the fifth album?
Yeah.
It went out with the magazine.
And that was, did a manager make that happen or was it Classic
we
Rock?
We had a good relationship with that magazine. I mm-hmm. actually went to their award show in 07. We got nominated Best New Group or something like that. And I met mm-hmm. like all my heroes, met like Jeff Beck and Steven
Tyler. I mean,
you've
already toured with all of them.
I know. It was pretty great. But, so they've always promoted us, and then that was just a great thing for them to do, which
is pretty wild.
A lot, yeah.
So now also, you know, as we said earlier, the third album was the one that got somewhat big here in America, yeah. right? And then obviously there's the newest album, The Wanderer, is the seventh mm-hmm. album, right? But I was told right before the pandemic, you guys were working on new music with Chris Robinson of the Black Crowes,
Rich.
Is that right?
The other guy.
Rich Robinson. Yeah. I had a 50-50 chance, but I fucked yeah. it up.
You've been batting 100 or 500 or 1,000.
I'm thinking we'll go with 800 right now, yeah. right? Fair enough.
What's the right metric? Baseball metrics, 1,000.
Yeah, I know nothing about
you confused the shit
yeah,
out
I don't know okay.
You
sports.
Could tell him
yeah.
there's touchdowns in baseball. He'd be like, oh,
I believe it. You have yet to throw a pick six or an interception. You're doing great.
Okay, good. Yeah. I don't know what that means either, but okay. So, yeah. Yes, I'm right. It was at least, if I would have said someone from the Black Crowes,
yeah.
I would have been right.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're right.
But how did that come about and what happened to that?
It came out. So like Rich is an old friend of the band's. We met him through our first producer, Gordy Johnson, and we've always remained in touch. And in fact, when they were putting the Crowes back together, I was invited to come and like audition for that seat. But they auditioned for every seat, and that didn't really work out. But while I was down there, I told Rich, let's do something in the studio, which we'd been planning to do for a long time. We mm-hmm. won some studio time. The American Songwriting Contest or something. Yeah. Something from our previous record had won an award, and it got us some studio time in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's what Rich was living. So we just drove down in late 2019. We showed him all our stuff. We picked three songs, did them live off the floor one weekend. It sounded great. Our label loved it, and we had planned to go back to do about six more in March of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And then a global changing event.
What happened?
You know, came down.
Something happened?
Have you guys heard of COVID?
Yeah.
Oh.
And yeah. then the border. I think the border was closed for like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So any hope we had of like getting that finished was gone. So we ended up doing the rest of the record in Canada. That's The Wanderer. But those three tracks are on there.
Okay, that's cool. And then the tour is called I Want to Play.
Yeah.
Right? And that's kind of like because
that was written.
That's what was fucking happening. You wrote that during COVID.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. It's like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck are we doing? Right?
Yeah, it was like especially for anybody in the music business, like you'd have these little, you know, glimmers of hope. Like they'd be like, oh, we can start doing drive-in shows, which were weird, but they were better than nothing.
I did a couple.
Yeah right?
God, right?
One was spectacular and one felt like every step in Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we had one that was excellent and one that was also similar to that because we basically had like a kind of a really small, rinky PA. Remember the one in Ottawa?
Yeah.
And like you went out for your guitar solo and like somebody was able to go like, guitar solo sounds great. Like, they couldn't even, he could hear that. Like, because it was like, in his ears, right, it sounded like we were raging like Metallica, but out there it was like, ding, ding, ding.
That's really funny.
Did people honk after songs?
Oh, yeah.
That was the weirdest thing with comedy. You hit a punchline, you go,
I know.
They're blinking lights. Yeah, what are we doing?
But look, hey, at least they were trying.
It was something.
Like,
everybody
fuck,
was
man?
Trying. You know, there was nothing to do but try at that point.
And then we would get, and then you get back from that, and then you're like, okay, well, there's some gigs coming up in the, in the late fall. Oh, no, there's not. Like, it was this constant canceling and just the chronic, the chronic stress on everybody right across the board. And, you know, we just kind of made it about something that we do, which is just go out and play music. And it was so funny for, well, not funny, it was weird for people in the performing arts. Like, so much of your outlet is about getting out and doing stand-up and getting out and singing songs and doing your thing. And you don't even have that. And then you're dealing with all of this other stuff. It's wild.
Right. It is wild. Yeah. Also, I really, not to get deep into this now, but I really wonder, 5 to 7 years from now, the long-term effects that this lockdown, that all the shit, like how we're all going to be different. I already think that people have forgotten how to be, like, interact with people. And then I switched differently. I started to really value alone time and really value like taking care of myself and things like that. So I really wonder.
That's like a positive outcome. I think it's going to be a real mixed bag.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's going to be more negative than positive.
Yeah, most likely. But, like, you know, one thing is that we'll never ever take a show for granted again. And I feel like the audience, like, this past summer, we had maybe one of our best summers of touring, period. And it was because of that love, both sides of the stage, and that, like, cherishing what we got while we got it. And what, you know, you get a little bit complacent. I don't know if this affects you when you're on tour. Like, you know, it's just another place. It's just another crowd. It's just another batch of songs. But, you know, that 2 years off, forced years off, we'll get that.
You'll never say hello, Cleveland and St. Louis.
No, that's right.
That's fair enough.
I got to the point where I was kind of like fed up with something I loved before the pandemic. Like, I was kind of like over it in a sense.
Yeah.
And it's horrible that we had to shut down. I feel terrible. Millions of people died. But it gave me a love again. And now, I mean, it's the best couple of years of my career since. And I love it like nothing else. And I don't take it for granted. It's so weird that we needed something like that.
So if I were to reword that, James Madden says millions of people dying made him appreciate himself again.
Yeah, maybe I had my best year financially and creatively. So thank you, everybody. Get your COVID out, Ralph. Where's that in the notes?
Thank you for your sacrifice.
This is like Spinal Tap. Where'd they print that? They can't print that.
I have a couple of more questions. But I know also you guys have released acoustic records before. So doing an acoustic song in the studio right now is nothing new to you guys. You've done acoustic records before.
It might be hard to do it in this close quarters.
We're going to move out of the way so you guys can get in. We're going to take a break so you guys can do a song, and we'll come back and wrap up the show. Does that make sense?
Sounds great. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to do that right now.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What song are you guys going to play live?
We're going to do a song off our new record called Love Lock.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Here we go. I want a two, I want a two, three, four. Hey there, mama, don't you dig the side of the lake? Come, it's on Saturday night. We're in love like Nevada tonight. Tell them desert stars to shine. We got love like the weather key. From now on, it's you and me. Johnny B, Sweet Marie, rolling with the tumbleweeds. I say, we're lonely, we're hungry, love like me way. We don't got too much to our names, just enough to clear these plains. This wheel, this heart, this sand, each grain, they're all yours, one in the same. If we find out that love ain't free, let's start ourselves a company. Your old man's got a bit of money, he'll do it for you, though he don't like me. I say, we're lonely, we're hungry, love like me, babe. I say, we
just like us when we were fools on a westbound bus. I hope they know there's no rush. I hope they stay love locked. Yeah. We ain't lonely. Yeah. We're hungry. Yeah. Love locked me away. I said, don't worry. Yeah. Just hold.
That was Love Lock, guys. It was fucking awesome. I got to tell you, while watching us, I'm going to embarrass her. Okay, our producer Shannon, very sweet, pretty girl over there, right? And she hasn't had sex in 4 years, I think it is. Sorry, Shannon, but 5 years, 5 years.
I got five on it.
She has this wild thing where she could look at a guy and be like, "Oh, that's nice," but then hear them sing, and they're like, "Oh my god!" And immediately, someone's going to have to clean up the chair once you guys leave. Am I right, Shannon?
So the 5 year streak's about to get broke.
Shannon, how right am I?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Yeah, no, you guys sounded awesome. And immediately,
thank you.
As soon as you guys started singing, I looked at Shannon, and Shannon looked at me, she's like, "Oh, I love them. This is really fucking great. It's really cool." Yeah, you're awesome. Thanks. Then I could see why all of these bands have fucking said, "Yeah, we sing your praises. It's a beautiful thing."
Thanks,
all right, so a couple other quick things. Number one, you guys are brothers, right? Mm-hmm. You're the older brother.
Yeah.
They both play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the better guitarist?
Him.
By far?
By far.
All right, that's fair. I like that happened so easily.
That takes a lot from an older brother, too.
It might have been, I don't know how that was.
We agreed when we started the band, he was the guitar player with Mystique, and I was the singer. Just like Almost Famous.
Oh, that's funny. That's cool. So it's not even a question. It's you guys know your lanes.
Almost Canadian.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Okay. And then there's a song that I know has a special place for you guys, Highway to Heroes, right? Can you elaborate a little bit on that one? Yeah. It was written quickly, like over the phone in 15 minutes and whatever. Just kind of elaborate a little on that, please.
We had there's a stretch of highway up in Ontario called the Highway Heroes. It's along the 401, which is the main highway through Ontario. And when any time a soldier was killed in combat, they would have like a repatriation ceremony that would go down the Highway Heroes. And in our hometown in 2006, we come from a really small town, Antigonish, about a population of 3,000. There's a girl named Nicola Goddard who served in the armed forces who was killed in Afghanistan. And we wrote the song about her. Called the Highway of Heroes. They were writing a book about her in 2009, about 3 years after she passed.
Mm-hmm.
And they were interviewing everybody from our hometown because it's such a small town. Everybody knows everybody. And my mom was interviewed for the book. So I was talking to her on the phone one night and she reminded me of the story and I got inspired to want to write a song about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then me and Janangus were writing and then we had a co-writer that we've worked with a lot through our career named Gordy Johnson from a really famous band called Big Sugar in Canada. And we wrote it over the phone. He was in Austin, Texas, and we wrote it in 15 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And we didn't expect it to be, you never know when you're writing anything if it's going to mean anything. And it just, that one meant a lot to a lot of people.
Right. And it's funny that when you say John Angus fast, there was a SNL sketch. I don't know if you remember with Colonel Angus.
Oh.
Remember that? Colonel Angus. You remember that? No, it's a great sketch. Great. It made me think of that.
What era?
That was probably, who was it? It was, it might have been Will. It might have been
like late 90s?
Well, Farrell might be late 90s, Well, Colonel Angus. I think it was, though, you know, who's the guy that, I can't think of his name, the guy that everyone does an impression of?
Gilbert Godfrey?
No, from the cowbell sketch. Come on now, my main is
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken. He was Colonel Angus.
Okay.
Yeah, so that definitely is worth
it. So maybe it was the same episode with the Don't Fear the Reaper.
It might have been. It might have been the same episode for all I know, but yes. And then the last question before we do the first, not that long ago, because as we're recording this, it is just a few weeks out of December, you guys released a Christmas song last year.
Yeah, we did.
And what was the motivation behind that one?
Just to have a Christmas song. It's been something we want to do for a long time. Like, I don't know if this is public knowledge, but when you want to make a Christmas song in the music business, you have to you have to make sure it's in play by like April. So you really have to think far ahead. So this time around we did, because also it's like a post-pandemic or pandemic thing where we're like, you just think of things that you can do further down the line. Mm-hmm. We got really good at that over the pandemic. So one of the things was, you know, we had this song kicking around that had a Christmas theme to it. We finished it up and then went in the studio in April and recorded it and then got it lined up and put it out at Christmas time.
Did you guys use the downtime to record a lot of shit?
Oh, yeah.
So do you have a lot of stuff on the horizon?
Yeah, there's a lot. I think there's too much music coming out now. So
well,
like,
yeah, for
like
sure.
Basically, like what we want to do is have everything and then narrow it down to like the 10 best things as opposed to bands that are putting out like 50 songs right now. Like
right.
With Spotify,
it is crazy.
It's
too much.
Yeah,
it is wild. Yeah. When we had Alice Cooper on, he said that he has a feeling that it's going to be an influx of a wild amount of music come the end of the
day. We have enough for a triple album, but we're not going to do that to our fans. We're not going to test their attention spans right now.
Yeah, you're asking a lot for people to assimilate all that amount.
And you got to remember this day and age, like, you know, we never were the kind of band that would, you know, hit hunt or try to write hits, but like, you do need to think about having a sound and a song that's going to rise above the 100,000 songs being released every day now or some crazy stuff like that.
Yeah, as the barrier to entry to release a song gets lower, it gets harder and harder.
And it was already pretty low, and now it's just non-existent.
I'm friendly with the guys in Steel Panther. Do you know that?
I've known them
forever. And it's to the point where I can't sing, I can't play any instruments. Let's start with that. But I downloaded an app on my phone. I just would create songs and then sing horribly offensive lyrics because that's their shtick. And I'd say, hey, have you guys heard this band? And I just send them me doing a song called, like, you know, Whip Out Your Titties or whatever and send to them. And then one of them, he's like, you know, we might record that one, which is kind of funny.
Make sure you get that copyrighted.
If I could record a song and have zero abilities, it's much harder now.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm sorry, is that it's abilities? That would be plural?
Yeah, I have zero abilities.
It would just wouldn't be ability.
No, I have zero abilities. I can't sing. I can't play guitar. Those
but in
are
the
all
sentence,
different abilities.
Would it just be ability?
No, you're wrong.
Can we get someone to fact check this? I got to beat Ralph on the most depressing day of the year.
You're wrong. I'm sorry, you're wrong. All right, so now the name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We have asked every guest this since the dawn of time. I do have to put in the caveat, feel free to not answer if you don't want to.
And I'll answer for you.
I'll make one up or tell mine.
I've only told like one of mine.
Okay.
Yeah, we ask about the first experience of all three. We start with rock and roll, and we just mean the first concert you went to on your own volition. I have a feeling it's going to be some fucking Canadian band we never heard of. But maybe not. We'll start with you, John.
I bet there'll be some good ones.
Can I run the intro?
Yeah, sorry. Run the intro.
The first time. You know why she's running the intro? Because she has mad ability. What ability? Concert, did
drugs, had sex. You know what's funny, Shannon? I'm so used to the pre-tapes where you don't have the ability to run the intro. And it looks like the guys like the intro.
It was just funny that it went from that to concert.
I spent $20 on that on Fiverr. Okay, John Agus, we'll start with you. First concert you ever went to?
That of my own volition.
Yeah.
I remember, and I think I'm going to steal Jack's answer because we went to high school together. We're the same age. We hitchhiked to Halifax, which is about 2 hours, to see Bob Dylan. Okay. So in 1996 or 7, my Time Out of Mind era, Bob Dylan. So I know it's not like the most rock and roll.
That's the truth. That's a good one, though.
Bob Dylan.
And you drove, you went two hours.
And we got to know the pedal steel player the next year. It turns out the guy playing pedal steel in the band at the time, Bucky Baxter, who passed away during the pandemic, sadly, but he had a cottage outside of town in Nova Scotia, just by coincidence. Maybe that's why Bob went to Nova Scotia, but he was living like in the summer, like an hour, or not even an hour, 20 minutes down the road from where we live. So we got to know this guy a little bit too, which was kind of
so I'm doing the math. I think you're about 10 years younger than me-ish.
Yeah.
So if I was going to be 26, you were about 16, 17 in that era?
I was still in high school, So I think I was in grade 10 or 11. Yeah.
Most Canadian thing they said just now, grade 10.
Yeah.
Grade 10.
What do you call it?
10th grade.
10th grade. Yeah. All right. I think
it sounds a little fancier.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to say form or something like British, you know.
Wait, they say that?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Yours, your first concert?
I remember my dad brought me out to see a band called Rollins Cross in Newfoundland at the, and it was like this Celtic band, but they had like a drum set, and I remember thinking that was pretty cool, and that was my first memory, but I remember thinking like, Guns N' Roses are way cooler than this.
Until you met Axl. And you're like, oh, maybe not.
Yeah, but Rollins Cross are a great band, but it was like very much like an East Coast traditional but rocky kind of Celtic thing. But I remember I was really into Guns N' Roses. Like when I first heard Appetite for Destruction when I was a kid, I was like, wow, this is gonna make my life.
I didn't ask this to either of you, but when you went to that first concert, were you guys already playing music or not yet?
My dad always had musical instruments. My grandmother was a professional musician, so we always had like pianos and guitars. It was never a weird thing to do around our house.
Okay.
My dad always played. So I remember just thinking, I remember being kind of obsessed with electric instruments, like how electric guitars would work or how bass, like I never understood how bass sounded. I was like, how do you make that out and stuff? I kind of got kind of fixated on that. And yeah, I just love the look of Les Pauls and all that shit. But
John, yours?
Jack,
sorry.
But it's technically the same.
John
works.
Yeah. John Angus. Jack Kennedy, baby. Jack Kennedy.
Or if you prefer, Johnny Lingus.
They have the same name. I was thinking that I couldn't remember, but then I just remembered that the first concert I ever saw was at a place called Canada's Wonderland in Toronto, and the Kinks happened to be playing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Way to make them look like jackasses.
Would that have been Dave Davies' version of the Kinks, or would that the whole original?
No, it was everybody.
It was everybody. That's great. How old were you?
I was like 12 or 13.
That's fucking great. God, you really shamed me.
What the hell were they doing?
It's embarrassing.
What were they doing at the...
Oh my God.
I don't know.
Probably punch each other in the mouth.
Yeah, I can't even picture that.
All right, now we're going to go back in the other direction. Jack, the first drug you ever did, but we always say after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug.
Weed was my first drug. After, I guess, it would have to be cocaine.
Cocaine. And was it an immediate like, or was it a one-off thing?
I was kind of pressured, or not pressured into it, but kind of coaxed
it. Was like that
it.
Scene on Dewey Cox, like, you don't want anything to do with this, Jack.
Favorite. Oh, my God, I love that. And especially the weed. Huh? He goes, no, there's no side effects, and it's awesome, but you don't want it.
I was kind of indifferent when the first time I had it.
Oh, okay, really fair enough. And you?
Yeah. I feel like irresponsible for talking about this. I want to say you should never do this drug because it's terribly addictive and it's bad for you. But yeah, it was cocaine, and it was like, I was like, this is the most amazing thing that ever happened in the history of, I'm just going to do this for the rest of my life. And luckily I stopped doing it a long time ago, and I would not, it was at a party after one of our shows at the Phoenix Concert Hall in Toronto. And somebody, you know, there's always that time in your life where all of a sudden there's somebody that shows up and has all the drugs. Hmm. And they're like, and then that guy's just like, hey, that guy's here. So therefore, the party's going to go for 3 days.
And then he's your best friend for the next 5 hours.
Yeah, you start a band together.
I'm going to cliff note it again like I did before. Colin says, cocaine is awesome, just don't do it.
No, but I might fact check this on y'all.
Because
I actually think we were into mushrooms before.
Yeah.
He said not weed.
Oh, right.
So right. We were doing like... That's we were point. Drinking mushroom tea while still in high school.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Like we would brew it and then drink it and play.
Actually, I did acid.
Exactly. Like
right.
We're
all coming back.
I mean, I'm fact checking. Yeah, both these guys lied. Both these guys, bald-faced, lied to you guys. And I was listening.
But maybe he didn't even see the Kinks. Maybe he's bullshitting there.
Maybe the tea maker him see that.
Maybe that was the drugs. He hallucinated the Kinks at Canada's Wonderland.
But mushrooms, and to this day, I still think it's a much more wholesome drug than some of the other ones I've tried. And certainly, like in smaller doses, I think it's actually kind of can be revelatory.
Right.
I don't even, you know, I mean, that's one of the ones that I would still flirt with.
Yeah, weed and psilocybin is all right. The other stuff is horrible.
I have a health and wellness show, hilariously, that we're talking about this, that I do other than this, called Good Sugar. And we had the founder of this, like, he's a mushroom guy that's been, you know, the Four Stigmata, like they're the tea coffee, it's a mushroom company. He's a fifth generation mushroom farmer, right? And he loves the idea of everybody doing hallucinogenic mushrooms. But he thinks microdosing is a mistake. He thinks you should do the full dose.
Macrodose.
Yeah, and I don't know.
What's the rationale behind it?
He had
that?
A whole story behind it.
I've heard the rationale too. Yeah. Like it's that, like, to get the full benefits of the transformativeness of the nature of the drug, you need to have a.
And I'm a puss. I do nothing. I try a drug on the show once a year, and I don't do any other drugs.
Which one
out
do you try?
Well, I've said this story a million times off air. I'll tell you guys, but I've tried now. Shannon, is it 7 drugs I've tried? I think 6 or 7, right?
Yeah, I think six.
Six, yeah. I just really quickly, it was mushrooms where, first of all, it was edibles and I passed out. Yeah. It was mushrooms, I was drooling. It was Molly, but it wasn't Molly, it was crystal meth. I was up for 3 days.
So what, you're going from 0 to 1 million once a year?
Yeah, once a year.
Insane.
Then it was Molly,
that's dangerous.
Then it was cocaine, and then just a couple months ago, we did Whippets with TJ Miller from,
TJ Miller.
Fucking whatever.
Simple.
Wait a second.
I'm going to quote my countryman here. This is directly from Neil Young, not to me, but to a third-party mutual friend. It's two things a man should never do after 50. One is ride a motorcycle. The other is cocaine.
Yeah, right. I was 50. I was like a month after being 50 doing the cocaine. And just because I thought it was hilarious, I did it off of a porn star's ass because that makes it funny to me.
So are you dead sober the rest of the year?
Yeah, I don't do anything.
That's
a total
nuts.
It's the occasional drink.
Occasional drink. Yeah.
I think okay. your body's yeah. a temple, and once a year you throw dynamite. Yeah, you yeah. throw dynamite
my,
in the temple.
And also, by the way, my thought was I was going to die because I was friends with Kevin Dubrow, who died at 51 from
cocaine. Your heart
cocaine.
Was probably racing.
Yeah, and I thought, at least if I know, if I die right now, boy, is this episode going to go viral. That's
yeah.
what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Help the rest
that's the way to look at it.
It's the ultimate boss.
Sure. And now your first experience with sexual intercourse.
I'm still a virgin, so.
I'm not going to push if that's your answer.
Mine was... it was actually the same person that I ended up marrying like years later.
Oh, that's nice. So you went back. You went sex, back. Time off, and married and went back to her. That's cool.
Yeah.
And are you still married?
No.
Oh, that would have been a cooler story.
But they might, he might go back to her. Yeah.
Once every 5 years.
We're both still alive.
Yeah, one every 5 years, come back. And you?
That's what he says. It was unremarkable. It was in a high school, or sorry, like a teenage girlfriend. Unremarkable in almost all aspects.
Fair enough. By the way, every girl that has sex with me now says the same thing.
Oh, okay, cool.
Hello.
Cool.
Okay. Cool. So it is at the Trues. It is thetruesmusic.com, the new album, The Wanderer, Wanderer, is out now.
That's right.
And you guys are on tour. The tour is I Want to Play, and you go see the dates everywhere.
Yeah.
While we're recording this, you're playing tonight in New York, but this comes out a few days from now, and you'll already be on the way.
Yeah.
It's coming out on Saturday. But thank you guys so much. Anything else you want to plug before we do plugs on the show?
I'm just happy to be here. Thanks for having us, and check out The Trues. We're everywhere that everywhere is.
Yeah, and the band that Robert Plant, Bruce Springsteen, Axl Rose, and Ace Frehley have given praise on this show alone. We found that out.
Yeah.
Your plug, sir.
The James Mattern. The. And think the. Pattern with an M. Instagram and YouTube. Go watch the Check Spot. Go buy the Check Spot on vinyl, the audio version on pinchrecords.com. And yeah, just come see me at shows. It'll be fun. Oh, yeah, watch. Yeah, I'll plug a show that I did warm up for because if you guys everyone watches it, I'll get much more work out of it. So watch a Super Maximum Retro show on Vice. It drops in March. It's hosted by Chris DiStefano, my boy, and it's cool. All right.
All right, cool.
I don't love that plug, but okay. Shannon,
you want to take, you want to give it, why don't you love it?
I felt you were indifferent to it. Shannon, your plug?
I was nothing but whatever.
Deferential?
Shannon,
tell your boss that I'm done with this horse shit. I get to do what plugs I want. I love the show. The Vice show, it's going to be great, and okay, I want to keep working.
That sounds positive.
I'm going to go on tour with these guys.
Yeah, Shannon.
Let's fucking go.
They used to do that a lot more. Like, comedians used to open for musicians, and musicians open for comedians.
We used to call it the good old days, sir.
But, like, who opened for Eddie Murphy? Was it Patti LaBelle and Delirious? Who was that?
Oh, really? I didn't know
something
that.
Something like that.
So you're saying musicians would open for comics?
Yeah, vice versa.
Yeah.
So he had the band, the Bus Boys, and they played him on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But Patti LaBelle opened up for Richard Pryor.
That's right.
Live on Sunset Strip.
That's right. They're both on Netflix.
Or Wanted.
And
Wanted.
I want.
So Bus Boys was The Boys Are Back in Town. That's
Boys
it.
Then
they were in 48 Hours.
Yeah, and Eddie made a reference that they fuck everything. That when that's they funny. Show up, everyone just hides.
It's funny.
The fish jump out of the
it's
water.
It's funny how great Eddie, like, you know, Eddie's one of the goats, and like he just wanted to be a musician too. Like he had like a music career, right?
Now, you know that story behind his song,
Party All
Part
the
of
time.
The Time, was that was he that? Was somewhere and him and, sorry, Rick James and Michael Jackson made a bet. And Rick James said, I bet you I could write a hit for him.
Oh, that was the basketball.
Yeah,
oh.
And I know that's everyone. And he wrote Party All the Time. And he said, I bet you it would go to number one. And it did.
Yeah.
And the loser had to sing backup on the next Eddie Murphy song. And that's why he did that song, What's Up With You, with Eddie Murphy. Michael Jackson sings that song backup. That's that story. It's crazy. All right, Chad, your plug.
Did you guys remember that there was that joke about comedians and musicians? What's the difference between comedians and musicians? Is that every comedian wanted to be a musician, and every musician thinks they're funny.
That's true. It is true, by the way, especially on this show.
That joke's case in point.
Yeah, we've seen that. All right, Shannon, your plug.
I thought it was terrific. And I thought you had a lot of heart.
Third
you
time
weren't indifferent.
Try,
you were not indifferent.
Yeah.
Shannon, I've tried four times now.
I know, I'm going to give up.
Shannon, let me do it for you.
It's no, because then you're going to be like, oh, it's whatever, this thing. And
no, I won't. I got a lot of heart. When did this become my reputation? I'm a good boy. I'm an honorary Canadian.
That's exactly the reason why.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is. Ding, we talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting guests come on, comedians, musicians, reality TV stars, and porn stars, and they tell their own personal experiences about their worst date experience, a time they got into a street fight, and an experience with the paranormal.
Okay, now guys, don't indicate. This is the last thing we're going to figure out is, do the boys in The Trues believe in ghosts or not? And you have to wait for all three of us to chime in. You ready what I'm doing? I'm doing no, no, yes. What are you doing?
Yes, no, maybe.
Shannon?
Yes, no, maybe.
No, yes, yes.
From which direction?
From the wall. The same way you guys both just did.
No, we were going this way.
I went this way. He went that way.
I'm starting with President Kennedy.
Okay. So I'm
no, yes, yes.
No, okay. And the answer, do you believe in ghosts?
Not in the way I think you're talking about it, no.
I actually do believe in ghosts.
I guess. I win. I don't know.
Oh, shit. Shannon won. God damn it.
No, yes, maybe. Yeah.
Wow. I was wrong.
I've had some weird paranormal moments.
All right. Well, we'll accept that. Okay. Follow me everywhere.
This is one of them, right?
Follow me at I am Ralph Sutton.
You guys are actually here, right?
My other podcast is on health and wellness called The Good Sugar Podcast. Comes out every Monday. Currently, number 50 in iTunes. So in the health area.
Proud of you.
We'll play a song from The Trues. We'll add it to the playlist. Pick one off the new album. We'll add it to the playlist.
Well, I want to play is probably like the signature track off the album. It was the lead-off single.
And the name of the tour. So we'll add that to the playlist.
Yeah, sums up the thing.
And we'll see everybody next time on the SDR Show. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
What are you guys doing here? It's not funny. Jeez.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.